Glad to see everyone back here with us this evening. Appreciate so much, even though he may not have realized how well that was going to coincide with our sermon tonight, the second song that Nate led, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Tonight we're going to be talking about our prayer lives. So we want to discuss what we can do, what you and I can do to give ourselves a more powerful prayer life. Friends, the simple truth is that most Christians spend very little time in prayer as compared to those that we read about in the Bible, most likely. We don't spend enough time on our knees. We don't spend enough time speaking with God as He has called upon us to do. Friends, we have a privilege that no one else in this world has as Christians. We have the ability to approach our God in prayer, to be able to take something to Him personally, to know that He's going to hear us. And the friends, He's going to answer us. So tonight I'd like to discuss with you 11 points for a more powerful prayer life. 11 points for a more powerful prayer life. Number one tonight, first and foremost, pray more. As I said a moment ago, more Christians spend very little time in prayer. Let me ask you this. How much time did you spend praying yesterday? I'm asking myself this question as well. How much time did you spend in prayer last week, last month, last year? How much time, friends, are we, as God's people, spending in prayer in conversation with Him? It's too often the case that we reserve prayer for an emergency use only. We go to God when we need something. We go to God when we think we need something. We go to God when things look dire. We hardly ever go to God when things are running smoothly, don't we? Or do we? Friends, the simple truth of the matter is we need more Daniels. We need more Daniels. In Daniel chapter 6, if you recall, there was a decree made that any that made any supplication to any other than the king himself, if any prayed unto any God, that they would be thrown into a den of lions. In Daniel 6 and verse 10, we read of Daniel going to his room, opening his windows as was his custom, and praying toward Jerusalem. Now the entire plan was for these other presidents, so to speak, these people that had been appointed over different provinces, they were jealous of Daniel. They wanted to get rid of him, and they knew they could only think of one way. We'll have this law made under the law of Medes and Persians that could not be changed. We'll get the king to sign off on it, and when Daniel goes to prayer, we'll go and tattle on him, so to speak, and the king will have to get rid of him. We won't have to deal with Daniel anymore. You remember, it vexed the king. Tore him up to the point that he stayed up all night looking for some way that he could save Daniel. But the point is there in verse 10 that he went as his custom was. Do you think that folks knew not to bother Daniel during certain parts of the day? That he was going to be in meditation, that he was going to be in prayer to his Lord? We need more Daniels, friends, that are going to pray just as often as they can. Number two. Not only must we pray more, friends, we need to be more specific. We need to be more specific. Prayers are often far too general. Prayers are often far too vague. More praying should be done for specific people, for specific needs, and so forth and so on. We should pray for the mission works that we support and pray for them by name. We ought to pray, we ought to have a list. That's the whole reason, friends, that we put out a bulletin or a good big part of it. Other than the articles that we put in it, we have a prayer list there. A list of people that are sick and in need of prayers. We ought to pray for them by name. Take their name before the throne of God. We need to be more specific. Prayers also, friends, should be fitted to the occasion. Let me give you an example. Two boys found themselves in what appeared to be a disaster with no way of escape. And so one boy prayed the only prayer he had ever heard his father pray, God, make us thankful for what we're about to receive. Didn't fit the occasion. Prayers ought to fit the occasion. We ought to be more specific. In Acts chapter 4, verse 29, Peter and others had been arrested for preaching in the name of Jesus Christ. Friends, the church there prayed specifically for them that were in prison. Turn with me to 3 John. 3 John and verse 2. I want you to notice John's prayer here in verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. How specific is John there? He wants them to prosper and be in health just so long as their soul prospers. He wants them to do what is right. He's specific. How specific do we get in our prayer? Friends, if we want a more powerful prayer life, we need to pray more, we need to be more specific. Number three, let's pray with greater faith. Let's pray with greater faith. Friends, we read in James chapter 1 and verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Quite simply, friends, weak faith and futile prayers are connected. They're intertwined. Doubts and uncertainty hinder our prayers. When we take something before the throne of God, we must have faith in Him and that He will answer our prayers. Now sometimes, friend, it's not going to be what we like, is it? The answer may not be what we want. The answer may not be what we like. But God's going to answer that prayer. We need to pray with more faith. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Notice with me verse 19, or verse 18 rather. Praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Notice what Paul writes there. He's praying always, number one, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto. He's watching for the answer. He has faith that God is going to grant his request. That God is going to take care of whatever it is that he's praying for. Turn with me over to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4 is a few pages over. Notice with me verses 2 and 3. Paul writes here to the Colossian brethren, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Give thanks when your prayers are answered. Expect them to be answered. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. They were specific and they asked in faith. Friends, the source for greater faith is God's Word. Romans 10 and verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing how? By the Word of God. That's it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Friends, let us pray with greater faith if we're going to have a more powerful prayer life. Number four, if we're going to have more powerful prayer life, we need to pray more, we need to be more specific, we need to pray with greater faith, friends, and we need to rise above the sin of covetousness. We need to rise above the sin of covetousness. James chapter 4 and verse 2 tells us that a covetous spirit hinders our prayers. We read in the life of Jesus, Matthew 6, 5 through 8, there in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells us concerning praying with a coveting spirit. Let's look at that. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. Matthew 6, beginning in verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou shalt shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray also, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Let's think about that for a moment. Some pray with the idea, some pray coveting the praise of men. These that Jesus speaks of praying on the street corners, they had no faith really that God was going to answer their prayers. They just wanted the praise of men. Look how spiritual these people are. Friends, that ought not to be the purpose of our prayers. That shouldn't be the purpose that we approach the throne of God. Friends, quite simply, selfish hearts do not gain the ear of God. A loving and giving God is seeking to bless those with generous spirits, not those that are covetous. If we want to have a more powerful prayer life, we need to rise above the sin of covetousness. Number five, pray more. Be more specific. Pray with greater faith. Rise above covetousness. And friends, pray with greater zeal and with greater fervency. Pray with greater zeal and fervency. Friends, an important ingredient of acceptable prayer is enthusiasm or fervency. Notice with me James 5 and verse 16. James 5 and verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. Notice this. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There needs to be zeal in our prayers. There needs to be conviction in our prayers. That goes back to praying with a greater faith. I can pray with zeal and with fervency if I believe that God's going to answer my prayers, can't I? We need to pray with a greater zeal, a greater fervency. Turn over to Acts chapter 4 with me. Acts chapter 4. Begin reading with me, if you will, in verse 23. Acts 4, beginning in verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. When they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of Thy servant David hast said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For of a truth against Thy holy child Jesus, whom Thou hast anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever Thy hand and Thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto Thy servants that with all boldness they may speak Thy word by stretching forth Thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of Thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Friends, how fervent do you believe that prayer that we just read was? How much zeal do you see there? That they would approach the throne of God in such a way and ask that they could speak the word of God boldly. Friends, prayers coming only from the lips and not from the hearts are hollow and empty. And I dare say not heard by God. We need to pray with greater zeal and greater fervency. Number six. Friends, we need to pray more. We need to be more specific. We need to pray with greater faith. We need to rise above covetousness. We need to pray with greater zeal and greater fervency. Friends, if we want a more powerful prayer life, we need to improve our marriages. Never thought about that in our prayers, have we? But it's a biblical concept. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Notice with me verse 7. Here we have some admonitions to husbands. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Husbands, we want our prayers to be heard. We don't want them to be held back from the ears of our God. We ought to be striving to be the husbands that God calls upon us to be. To dwell with them according to knowledge. Know our wives as God intended us to know them. dwell with them according to knowledge, giving them honor as unto the weaker vessel. Why? So that our prayers be not hindered. Improve our marriages. If we want our prayers to be heard, if we want a more powerful prayer life. Turn with me to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And notice with me verses 4 and 5. We notice a couple of admonitions to husbands. Let's look at some admonitions to wives. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Friends, what's the reason behind what he writes here to Titus? That the word of God be not blasphemed. Don't you think it also could be said there that their prayers be not hindered? I believe so. Friends, if we want a more powerful prayer life, let's work on our marriages. Now you may be sitting there thinking, well, I've got a pretty good marriage. No doubt that you do. But we all need improvement, don't we? We all have areas in which we can improve. Let's improve our marriages. Number 7. Pray more. Be more specific. Pray with greater faith. Rise above covetousness. Pray with zeal, with greater zeal and fervency. Improve your marriage. Number 7, grow more godly. If I want a more powerful prayer life, I need to grow more godly. Friends, quite simply, the more righteous we become, the more our prayers accomplish. You know, Elijah's success in prayer was directly related to his righteousness in life. Elijah was able to pray that it not rain in the land for 3.5 years, and then he goes back to God in prayer, and as he continues to pray, and he sends his servant 7 times to look for a cloud, he finally comes back to Elijah and says, I see a cloud. How big? About as big as my hand. What is Elijah's response after his prayer? Find shelter because rain's coming. Elijah's success in prayer was directly related to his righteousness in life. If we want a more powerful prayer life, friends, we need to be more godly, grow more godly. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Notice with me verse 12. First Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Friends, his eyes are over the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. But a rebellious spirit and those that go with unrepented of sins will always have their prayers hindered. Prayers are going to be held back from the ears of God. Mindful of Isaiah 59:1-2, where Isaiah tells the people there that God's hand is not shortened, nor is ear heavy that he cannot hear, but it's their sins, their iniquities that are separated between them and their God. Friends, we need to be mindful of that. We have aught in our lives and expect our prayers to be heard. Friends, we have another thing coming. We want a more powerful prayer life, friends. We need to grow more godly. Number 8. Let us grow in humility. Let us grow in humility. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3, there we see the first beatitude, friends. And what does it deal with? It deals with humility. Jesus says there in verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. First beatitude was on humility. Friends, the proud heart, plain and simple, is rejected by God. James 4 and verse 6, Luke 18:10-14. God wants nothing to do with those that are proud, those that are prideful. Grow in humility if you want a more powerful prayer life. Number 9, probably one of the most difficult. Cultivate, friends, a forgiving spirit. Cultivate a forgiving spirit. Friends, Christians should never be grudge holders. Christians should never be grudge holders. Look with me at Matthew chapter 6. I want you to notice verse 12. Now, Matthew chapter 6, there in verse 12, we see what some have, in this particular passage, we see what some have called the Lord's Prayer. I believe it's more accurately called the model prayer. He's teaching them how to pray. And in verse 12, Jesus makes a statement here, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Friends, we as Christians need to do a better job of forgiving one another. We need to do a better job of forgiving others for this simple fact. Notice in the model prayer what Jesus said. He asked God to forgive our debts. In other words, forgive our sins, our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. Friends, how much trouble, on a personal level now, how much trouble am I, how much trouble are you, how much trouble are we going to be in on the day of judgment if God forgives us just like we have forgiven others? You know, when God forgives, He truly forgives. The Bible tells us that He removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. He tells us that He casts our sins to the depths of the sea where they can never be recovered. In other words, friends, He completely and utterly gets rid of them. And remember this, is that He remembers them no more. Now, how does an all-powerful and all-knowing God forget? The key there is all-powerful. He chooses to forget. But friends, it may be hard. I know it is to forgive another a grievous trespass against you. But friends, if we want forgiveness ourselves, we had better cultivate a spirit of forgiveness. If we want a more powerful prayer life, we had better cultivate a forgiving spirit. Let us learn what true forgiveness is. Number 10. Pray more. Be more specific. Pray with greater faith. Rise above covetousness. Pray with greater zeal, improve your marriage, grow more godly, grow in humility, cultivate a forgiving spirit. And friends, number 10, pray with persistence. Pray with persistence. Turn with me to Luke 18. Luke 18. The same idea, the same principle is shown in Luke 11, 1 through 13 as well. But I want us to look at the first five verses of Luke 18. And He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Now think about this unjust judge, friend. He went ahead and took that judgment and did what he should have done to begin with, simply because he did not want her continually knocking on his door. You go on and read there concerning our prayers, friends. How much more ought we to be persistent with our righteous judge in heaven, taking our petitions repeatedly before Him? Now, we talked about praying for rain now for the last 2 or 3 years. How many of you have kept an umbrella in your car? Have you truly believed that God is going to answer that prayer? How many times, friends? How many times do you pray for rain? Is it every day? Once a week? Once a month? Maybe just when, right after you've watched the Weather Channel and seen there's not going to be any rain this week? Pray persistently. Pray with persistence. Finally, friends, number 11. Pray more. Be more specific. Pray with greater faith. Rise above covetousness. Pray with greater zeal and fervency. Improve your marriage. Grow more godly. Grow in humility. Cultivate a forgiving spirit. Pray with persistence, friends. And last, but friends, certainly not least, combine your prayers with action. If you want a more powerful prayer life, combine your prayers with action. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4 once more. Acts 4. Notice verse 29. And now, Lord, notice their prayer here. Behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants with that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Notice this. And they spake the word of God with boldness. They went forth and they spoke. They didn't go and pray what it was that they wanted God to do and then go sit on their thumbs and do nothing. They went and they preached the word of God with boldness. Friends, I've heard it said, and I like the saying, pray as though everything depends upon God, but then work as though everything depends upon you. A farmer had this sign on his farm: pray for a good harvest, but keep on plowing. Think about the sentiment of those words for just a moment. Could that farmer pray for a good harvest and then not go get in his tractor and plow his field and plant anything? If he decides to pray for a good harvest and then doesn't plant his field, is he going to get a good harvest? No. We are to combine prayer with action. Friends, we must not pray for the lonely and then fail to visit. We must not pray to God for the lost and then fail to teach the gospel. We must not pray for the elders or the leadership and then disrespect their authority. We must not pray for the leadership and then not prepare ourselves to lead. We must not pray for the church and then tear her down through indifference, through criticism, or poor example. We must not pray for the forgiveness of sins when we refuse to make needed changes in our thinking and in our lives. Friends, we need to combine our prayers with action if we want to have a more powerful prayer life. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our songbooks. We're ready to sing the invitation song here in just a moment. Here are 11 things that you and I can do to ensure for ourselves a more powerful prayer life. Number one, let's pray more. Let's be more specific in those prayers. Let us pray with greater faith. Friends, let us rise above covetousness. Let us pray with greater zeal and fervency. Let's work on our marriages, whether we think they need work or not. Let's grow more godly, grow in humility. Cultivate a forgiving spirit. Pray, friends, with persistence. And then, friends, let's combine that prayer with action. Let's go to work. Friends, it may be that you're here tonight having never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Friends, if that's the case, you need to be aware of something tonight. God doesn't hear your prayer. If you've been praying, looking for the way, the truth, and the life, your prayers may have gone up, as did Cornelius's, as a memorial before God. And this may be the open door that you've been waiting for, to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Friends, if you've never done that, your prayers are being hindered. Are you here tonight in need of obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ? Friend, please don't put it off any longer. Put Christ on in baptism. Being immersed in water, coming in contact with His blood to arise again to walk in newness of life. Would you do that this evening? Friend, are you here having done that? Are your prayers hindered tonight because of sin in your life? Would you be rid of those things? Would you put them away from you? Would you come home and be His again? Friend, if you have a need, whether to obey the gospel, to repent of sin, friend, or if you just need the prayers of the church, we ask that you come right now while we stand and while we sing.